Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, Minister of the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is October 28, 2016, on the Bull 28, 2020. We will start our second service today with a song entitled, When the Saints Go Marching In. I'm just a weary pilgrim, walking through this world of sin, getting ready for that city when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, y'all won't be in that number when the saints go marching in. My father loved the Savior, what a soldier he had been. But his steps will be more steady when a robe of white round him. When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, your won't be in that number when the saints go marching in. And Mother may God bless her, I can see her now as then, with a robe of white around her, when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, you won't be in that number when the saints go marching in. Up there I'll see the Savior who redeemed my soul from sin. With extended hands he'll breathe me when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, you won't be in that number when the saints go marching in. 1 Kings chapter 6. Let's continue with our theme. Yahweh's covenant with Abraham. It says in the first verse, and it came to pass in the 480th year, after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, and the Mount Ziph, which is the second month that he began to build the house of the Yahweh, and the house which King Solomon built for the Yahweh, the length thereof was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits, and the height thereof 30 cubits, and the porch before the temple of the house 20 cubits was the length thereof according to the breadth of the house, and 10 cubits was the breadth thereof before the house. And for the house he made windows of narrow lights, and against the wall of the house he built chambers round about against the walls of the house round about, both of the temple and of the oracle, and he made chambers round about, and then the nethermost chamber was 5 cubits broad, and the middle was 6 cubits broad, and the third was 7 cubits broad. For without in the wall of the house he made narrow dressed round about, that the beam should not be fastened in the walls of the house. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone ready-made before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer, nor axe, nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in the building. The door for the middle chamber was in the right side of the house, and they went up with the winding stairs into the middle chamber and out of the middle into the third. So he built the house and finished it and covered the house with beams and boards of cedar. And then he built chambers against all the house, 5 cubits high, and they rested on the house with timber of cedar. Okay, it says, and the word of Yahweh came unto Solomon saying, concerning this house, and which thou art in building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgment and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee which I spake unto David thy father. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. So Solomon built the house and finished it. And he built the walls of the house within with boards of cedar, both the floor of the house and the walls of the ceilings, and he covered them on the inside with wood, and covered the floor of the house with planks of fir, and he built 20 cubits on the sides of the house, both the floor and the walls, with the boards of cedar. He even built them for it within, even for the oracle, even for the most holy place. And the house that is, the temple before it was 40 cubits long, and the cedar of the house within was charred with knop and other flowers. All was cedar. There was no stone seen. And the oracle he prepared in the house within, that to sit there the ark of the covenant of the Yahweh. And the oracle in the forepart was 20 cubits in length, and 20 cubits in breadth, and 20 cubits in the height thereof, and he overlaid it with the pure gold, and so covered the altar, which was of cedar. So Solomon overlaid the house within with pure gold, and he made it partitioned by the chains of gold before the oracle, and he overlaid it with gold, and the whole house he overlaid with gold until he had finished all the house. Also the whole altar that was by the oracle he overlaid with the gold, and within the oracle he made 2 cherubims of olive trees, each 10 cubits high. And 5 cubits was the one wing of the cherub, and 5 cubits the other wing of the cherub, from the utmost part of the one wing unto the uttermost part of the other were 10 cubits. And the other cherub was 10 cubits. Both the cherubims were of one measure and of one size. The height of the one cherub was 10 cubits, and so was it of the other cherub. And he set the cherubims within the inner house, and they stretched forth the wings of the cherubim, so that the wing of the one touched the one wall, and the wing of the other cherub touched the other wall, and their wings touched one another in the midst of the house. And he overlaid the cherubims with gold, and he carved all the walls of the house round about with carved figures of cherubims and palm trees and open flowers within and without. And the floor of the house was overlaid with gold within and without. And for the entering of the oracle, he made doors of olive tree. The lintels and side posts were a fifth part of the wall. The 2 doors also were of olive tree. And he carved upon them carvings of cherubims and palm trees and open flowers, and overlaid them with gold, and spread gold upon the cherubims and upon the palm trees. So also made he for the door of the temple post of olive tree a fourth part of the wall, and the 2 doors were of fir tree. The 2 leaves of the one door were folding, and the 2 leaves of the other door were folding, and he carved their own cherubims and palm trees and open flowers, and covered them with gold fitted upon the carved work. And he built the inner court with three rows of huge stone and a row of cedar beam. And the fourth year was the foundation of the house Yahweh laid in the month of Ziph, and in the 11th year, in the month of Bul, which is the 8th month, and that's the month that we're in right now, we're on we're on the 28th day of Bul. We're just typically coming to the end of this month of Bul. Throughout all the parts thereof, and according to all the fashions, it was 7 years in building it. It took 7 years to build this. But Solomon was building his own house. Okay, now, that's the end of chapter, 1 Kings chapter 6. Let's see what our next offering is. It's in 1 Kings chapter 8, to continue on with the theme of the covenant. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon and Yahdrusham, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Yahweh out of the city of David, which is Zion, and they left out the prepositional phrase. So we're going to put the prepositional phrase in there, and then we're going to read that again. Out of the city of David, that is in the Mount Zion. Instead of which is Zion, we're going to put the pronoun that is verb in the Mount Zion. At Jerusalem, I'll add that part as well. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king Solomon at the feast in the month Ethanim, which is in the 7th month. See, it says which is the 7th month, but they left out the preposition in. So this is what is wrong with the King James. That's the only thing I'm finding wrong with the King James, is that the translator left out key simple words that gives the true meaning of what it's really talking about. They leave out prepositions, they leave out articles, here and there and everywhere, and only about 50% accuracy. Okay, let's go on. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 3. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of the Yahweh, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. Even those did the priests and the Levites bring up, and King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Yahweh unto his place, into the ark of the house, unto the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above, and they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without, and there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of the stone which Moses put there at the Horeb, when the Yahweh made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of Yahweh. And so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Yahweh had filled the house of the Yahweh. Now what would happen when we establish the true worship today, according to Yahweh's timetable? You're going to have the glory of Yahweh's presence felt right here in this temple. And the same thing with wherever the temple is displayed anywhere in the world by Yahweh's chosen messenger, like in Africa. We just implore Jeff White to be faithful in administering and perfect the ordained system of true worship. No matter what, you'll find that life will go much easier for you. Your blessings will come more readily and easily. And everything will just start to really fall in place, because it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So don't worry about your old cars wearing out and this and that. Do the best you can to keep them up, but don't let them interfere with your ordained system of true worship. Put priorities first. Yahweh will bless you. Okay, in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Solomon. Yahweh said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have surely built thee in a house to dwell in, a suitable place for thee to abide in forever. Now, what is this temple that Solomon built? It's a settled place. It's a sure settled place. Okay, now there's a place in the scripture that talks about the sure settled place. That's the only scripture that we can deal with. The word settled is used seven times in the KJV, but Sister White, I believe, used a sure settled place of glory. She used that word sure. But anyway, here in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 13, it says, I have surely built thee an house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. So at least we have that word sure, even mentioned in verse 13. It says, but it's connected with surely. In verse 14, and the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, blessed be the Yahweh Elohim of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and hath with his hand fulfilled his saying, since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build an house, that my name might be therein. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of David, my father, to build an house for the name of the Yahweh Elohim of Israel. It was in his heart. But you know what? This antithetical, David, that's what's in his heart too. I have that stronger than anything about building this house that Yahweh has brought me here to do. But we have to dig in, and we have to get complete with Yahweh so that he can fulfill his will with us. So in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 18, and the Yahweh said unto David my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build a house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build a house unto thy name. Okay, so now, you know what? Yahshua is going to be this antitypical Solomon that comes out of the antitypical loins of David today that's going to build a temple. Because it says the branch joins the house of David. Jeremiah 23, I'll raise unto David a righteous branch. And it says the branch builds the temple. Now we're getting somewhere. So this temple, this third temple is going to be built. And Yahshua is going to be the one that is going to orchestrate the building of this temple. And he's already on the job doing it. So, it says there in Jeremiah 23:5, I'll raise unto David a righteous branch. And now we can safely go, I believe, to Amos chapter 9 is a prophecy on this very same thing. And let's see what we come up with there. Amos chapter 9. And it says, verse about, oh, let's start with about verse 11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruin, and I will build it as in the days of old, Okay, there it is. That they may possess the remnant of Edom. That's the Moabites, the Edomites. They're descendants of Abraham, but they're not descendants of Isaac. They're not of the promised seed. And of all the heathen which are called by thy name, saith Yahweh, that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. Let's back up a little bit further. Okay, it says in Amos 9, let's just read the whole chapter. Evil destroyed, the tabernacle restored. Amos has a prophecy on it for these last days. I saw the Yahweh standing up on the altar. Actually, this is Yahshua. Amos saw the Yahshua standing up on the altar and he said, smite the lintel of the door that the post may shake and cut them in the head. But actually, this may be the Father. Let's just go with the Father and see where we go from there. I saw the Yahweh stand upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the post may shake and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with a sword. Okay, he that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command a serpent, and he shall bite them. And though they go into captivity for their enemies, thence will I command a sword, and it shall slay them. And I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good. And the Yahweh Elohim of hosts is he that touches the land, and it shall melt. And all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. False doctrine. Revelation chapter 12. The old dragon cast water out of his mouth as a flood to drown the woman, the purified woman, 144,000, in the 12th hour, and that's where we're at today. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven, stories, a building with many stories. How about 12 stories? How about the 12 foundations of Revelation 21? That's named after the 12 sons of Jacob, and the 12 apostles, I mean. What about those? And hath founded his troop in the earth, has founded his army, and he that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth, the Yahweh is his name. Are you not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel? Okay, the Ethiopians, they're black people that are Jewish. They have Abraham's seed running to them through Isaac. Okay, saith Yahweh. Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Captor, and the Syrians from Kir? Syrians are involved here. Behold, the eyes of Yahweh Elohim are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth. And what is that sinful kingdom? That's Mount Edom. That's headed up by Esau, this twin brother of Jacob, the firstborn that has the birthright to be the progenitor of the righteous line. He didn't make it. Neither did Cain, the firstborn. He didn't make it either. Okay, all these firstborn just didn't make it to be the progenitors of the righteous line. It's always the firstborn of the spirit, and it always falls on the secondborn of the flesh. I was born in the flesh, but they're born of the spirit as well. Born in the fleshly, sinful flesh, but they're born of the spirit, not of the will of man. Isaac was born by the spirit, not by the will of man, but yet he was born of fleshly parents. You get the point? Ishmael was born, but not by the spirit. He wasn't preordained by the spirit. He was preordained by man's wishes. Okay, But he says, behold, the eyes of Yahweh Elohim are upon the sinful kingdom, that's Esau's kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith to Yahweh. Okay, now, in my cross reference here of Amos 9, this 8th verse, it might give me some cross references also. Jeremiah 30 and Obadiah 16 and 17. That's the chapter that follows this book of Amos. We're going to read that when we get through here. Amos 9:9. For lo, I will command and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations. Like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. And that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. So this tabernacle of David is going to be raised up, folks. And he's going to build it as in the days of old. This is the Father talking. And who is he going to build it through? His Son is the master builder. He's going to send him to sit upon the throne of David. Luke 1, 30, 31 and 32 and 33. He's going to send his Son that's going to sit upon the throne of David and going to reign until he puts all enemies under his footstool, until all enemies are destroyed off the face of the earth. That's how long Yahshua is going to reign. And he has come to reign through his servant Elijah David, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith Yahweh that doeth it. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build their waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith Yahweh the Elohim. Okay. So now, as I said, we're going to read the book of Obadiah. It's only one book. It's got 21 verses. Let's just go ahead and read it. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, concerning Edom. Okay, now when we say the day Edom, we're saying concerning the Seventh-day Adventist and the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist mother and daughter. Now, mother had two daughters. And she actually had, mother had three daughters. She had Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead. Three feeding pastures, three daughters. And Hosea portrays these three siblings as Jezreel and Ami and I believe it's Luami, Hosea. But anyway, there's three siblings there. There's two men and one daughter, literally. Okay, so now it says in Obadiah chapter 1, verse 1, the vision of the Obadiah. Remember, Obadiah is a helper of Elijah. Okay, it says, thus saith Yahweh Elohim concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from Yahweh, and an ambassador sit among the heathen. Arise ye and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen, thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the cliffs of the rock, whose habitation is high. Thus saith in his heart, who shall bring me down unto the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou sit thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Yahweh. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. That they eat of thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith Yahweh, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end, that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by the slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. And the day that thou stoodest on the other side, and the day that the strangers carried away captives, his forces and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. That thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, and the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. The day of the Yahweh, verse 15, it's actually the day of Yahshua the Son. For the day of the Yahshua is near upon all the heathen. Ooh. And we know Yahshua, the year of his redeem, came down here at Kermit in 2002 at the Passover at Gilead Center, the third daughter of Mother, SDA. And Brother Johnson, he came to the ancient men before the house. Brother Johnson is the angel of the seventh candlestick, the one that was in charge and sitting upon the cedar stump, the prophet's inspiration. There being exemplified from that seer stump, from the sacred lectern that Rhoda Johnson was put in charge of. It says, as thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as you have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. So, the Seventh-day Adventists, for 158 years up to 2002-2003, about 160 years collectively from 1843 to 2003, is actually when the Adventists had their beginning with William Miller making a transfer from the sixth-hour laborers unto the ninth-hour laborers was in 1843. Okay, when he brought the three angels' messages to the Seventh-day Adventists. William Miller delivered the three angels' messages unto the Seventh-day Adventists, believe it or not. He was called a First-day Adventist. Okay, so, for as you have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen. In other words, all those that had rejected the three angels' messages from 1843 clear up to 2003, those three feeding pastures, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead, they had each had a 40-year period. Gilead actually had a 33-and-a-half-year period, but had two leaders, and I finished out the 40 years for Gilead Center in 2010, just like Ben Roden finished out the 40 years for Carmel from 1930 to 1970. Two leaderships in that 40-year period of Carmel, two leaderships in the period of Gilead Center at Kermit, Texas. For as you have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. That upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess the possession, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them, and devour them, and there shall be not be any remain of the house of Esau, for the Yahweh has spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain, the Philistines, and they shall possess the field of Ephraim, and the field of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this house of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even under Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And Savior shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, that's the 144,000. The Mount of Esau is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. At her conclusion, that's at Gilead Center. In 2002, 2003, that's when the Savior, in the form of Ezekiel 9, that's when that begins. They're closing out the judgment of the dead period, the sixth trumpet, the sixth seal, and the judgment of the dead, and beginning, and the 11th parabolic hour, closing that out. So the Adventists had 11 parabolic hours, symbolically, to labor in from 1843 to 2003. 160 years, they had the 10th and the 11th parabolic hours to work in. But actually, collectively, they worked from sun up to sundown. So that's, they worked from sun up until the last hour of the day. Because they quit at the end of the 11th hour. But there's 12 hours in a day. Yahshua says, are there not 12 hours in a day? John 11:9. The disciples wanted to quit when the 11th hour was finished in their day. Yahshua says, we've got to go down to, we've got to go down to Bethel. We've got to go down to Bethlehem. And they said, Master, the last time you've done it, they thought to kill you. They ran you out of there with rocks and stuff. Oh, man. And you want to go back down there? And he said, are there not 12 hours in a day? We still got daylight, folks. We got a whole hour left in this day. And by the time we get down to Bethlehem, Judah says it'll be sundown. And then you can go, we'll go find a resting place, and you can go lay down and go to rest. The disciples thought that they were going back to Jerusalem. They were on their way back home. Boy, they didn't want to go back to Jerusalem. Yahshua told them that home is where you end up when the sun goes down. That's where your home is at. The disciples, they wanted to spend that last hour of daylight, the 12th hour, they wanted to spend it going home. Yahshua says, no. We got unfinished work to do. We've got to go and spend this 12th hour going to the place where our next work is going to take place. We've got to be there in position when the sun comes up in the morning to start the first hour of the day. We're going to go and get prepared for that. We're going to get 12 hours of rest tonight. We're going to get 12 hours of rest. We're going to get down to Bethlehem, Judah, in this 12th hour. John 11:9, he said, we're going to get down there. In other words, I'm putting my interpretation on. And we're going to have 12 hours of rest. And when the sun comes up in the morning at 6 o'clock, and it starts the first hour of the day, we're going to deal with Lazarus, because he's died and he's in the tomb. And we've come down here, we've got work to do for Lazarus and Mary and Martha, his two sisters. And so the disciples, they just went along with him. They said, well, we don't have no choice. We've got to follow the Master. We've agreed to follow him wherever he goes. And so they learned a great, great lesson, that you don't stop working until the sun starts setting. I remember out on the farm, when I drove a tractor, and we had the farm from sunup to sundown. And I'll tell you one thing, we were out in that field the first hour of daylight when the sun came up. And my daddy would take me out to the field, and he put me on that tractor. And bless his heart, he would turn me loose, and he knew that I would take care of it. And he would go on his way, because he had other things to do. And he'd leave me out in that field, all alone. And I would watch that sun, and when it got straight overhead, I knew it was time for dinner. And so I would shut it down, and I'd work at least 6 hours. I'd sit on that truck for at least 6 hours, and then I'd go and I'd take a break. Well, I'd take a break in between, but I had to put gas in it, and I had to do things
to get me a drink of water, but I'm talking about I worked for 6 hours, and I would quit, go get me some dinner, something to eat, and I would take I wouldn't take a very long break. I'd just take just long enough to get me a cool drink of water and eat something, and then I'd back on the tractor. And when that sun started going down, it just about 30 minutes before sundown, I got to looking at that tractor, that sun. And I said, I got just enough time to get out of the field and to get home before the sun sets, because I don't have any lights on this tractor. And if I was a long ways off, I had to drive that tractor home. And so I had to have enough daylight to get home. And as soon as I got home, that sun went down, I parked my tractor, and that was the end of a 12-hour day. I know what it's like, and I'm just 11 years old, folks. I started my hard laboring at the age of 8 years old. And my daddy said, you know what? He said, that little 8-year-old boy laying there on the bed there, said, you know what? Said, he does the work of a grown man. Said, he is like having a full-grown hand working. Said, he does the work of a grown man at 8 years old. I worked right beside my father. I did the same kind of work he did. And he says, well, that boy can do the work of a grown man. And he does do. And so much with that. So anyway, it says, Savior shall come from Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Yahweh. Okay. Now let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 8. Let's start with verse 20. And the Yahweh hath performed his word that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Yahweh promised, and have built an house for the name of the Yahweh Elohim of Israel. And I have set there a place for the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Yahweh, which he made for our father, when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Okay, Solomon's prayer. Verse 22, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Yahweh in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Yahweh Elohim of Israel, there is no Elohim like thee, in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant David my father that thou promisest him. Thou spakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine heart, with thine hand, as it is this day. Therefore now, Yahweh Elohim of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father, that thou promise him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O Yahweh of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will Elohim indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant, and to his supplication, O Yahweh, my Elohim, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer of which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou unto the supplication of thy servant and unto thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do, and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked, to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous, to give him according unto his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again unto thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplications unto thee in this house, Then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people, Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place, and confess thy name, and turn from their sin, when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants, and of thy people in Israel, that thou teachest them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land, which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give unto every man according unto his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concern the stranger that is not of thy people, Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake. For they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray toward this house. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according unto all that the stranger calleth for thee, for that all the people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Yahweh toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. They sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy far and near. Okay, that's, it says, yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee and the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversion, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captives, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the cities which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in the heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them, for they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yahweh Elohim. He says, and it was so, that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Yahweh, he arose from before the altar of the Yahweh, from kneeling on his knees, with his hands spread up unto heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Yahweh that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. Yahweh Elohim be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Yahweh be nigh unto the Yahweh or Elohim day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Yahweh is Elohim and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Yahweh or Elohim to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as is this day. And the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice for the Yahweh. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offering, which he offered unto the Yahweh, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of Yahweh. The same day did the king hallow the middle of the court that was before the house of Yahweh, for there he offered burnt offerings and meat offerings and the fat of the peace of offerings, because the brazen altar that was before the Yahweh was too little to receive the burnt offerings and meat offerings and the fat of the peace offerings. Okay. And at that time Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, a great congregation from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt, before the Yahweh Elohim, 7 days and 7 days, even 14 days. On the 8th day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king, and went unto their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Yahweh had done for David his servant, and for Israel his people. They had so much celebration to do that they did a 2 7-day period. They did 14 days of making offerings. And I'm telling you, there was hundreds of thousands of offerings made. They had to build a bigger place to offer these sacrifices. The brazen altar just wasn't big enough. They had to build a bigger one. And the fat did flow. Okay, that's the end of chapter 8, 1 Kings chapter 8. Let's see now, what is our next? Our next chapter would be chapter 11, 1 Kings. And it deals with the word covenant there in verse 11. And then that's all. And the 11th chapter of Kings, it has 43 verses. So let's just go ahead and start with it. Start with verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Now these are all the people that children of Israel had drove out of the land. Had driven out of the land when they went in, but they under Joshua, but they didn't fully drive them all out, and so that's why Solomon is dealing with them today. Okay, they were still in the land because the children of Israel didn't do their job 500 years earlier of driving them all out of the land, clearing the land. So here's Solomon sitting up the everlasting kingdom of heaven, building an antithetical replica of the Jerusalem in heaven. And I mean the whole city. He didn't just build the temple. He built the whole city. And here it is. He's bringing all these heathen that Joshua failed to purge out of the land when as he was commanded 500 years earlier. So it says, verse 2 of 1 Kings chapter 11, of the nations concerning which Yahweh said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their God. Solomon clave unto these in love. So Yahweh told Solomon, Joshua, 500 years earlier, he said, don't you go in unto them, and don't you have them come in unto you, because they'll take your heart away. And here's Solomon, because they didn't obey Joshua's order and Yahweh's order, 500 years earlier, here Solomon is now going after these very ones that he knew it was in the law not to do it. He did it anyway. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart, no doubt. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. So, by indulging these beautiful, beautiful women, well, that's what happened to him. And his heart was not perfect. Now, here's that word perfect. His heart was not perfect. But now it says over there in 1 Kings chapter 8, it says 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61, it says, "Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Yahweh or Elohim to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day." But now over here in chapter 11, just that very far away, it says, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives' hearts turned away his heart. Wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Yahweh, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abominations of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Yahweh, and went not fully after Yahweh, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build in a high place for Chemosh." And boy, that's today, that's... That's a terrible place to be at today. It says the abomination of Moab. Moab was a descendant of Lot, a Hebrew, a nephew of Abraham. But because of his incest with his two daughters to raise up the nation of Moab and Ammon, they became an abomination and heathen and idolatry and worship of heathen custom. And the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. Look at there. And likewise did he for all his strange wives which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Yahweh was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Yahweh commanded. Twice Yahweh commanded. Wherefore the Yahweh said unto Solomon, "Forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant, thou hast not kept my covenant, my everlasting covenant, and my statutes," but it says over there in 1 Samuel chapter 23, it says David, Yahweh established the everlasting covenant with David. That's in 2 Samuel chapter 23. And it says in verse 5, it says, "Although my house be not so with Yahweh, yet he hath made me with me an everlasting covenant ordered in all things, and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow." So David says that everlasting covenant Yahweh made with him was all his salvation. And here we got Solomon, chapter 1 Kings chapter 11. So, let's read that verse 4 again and bring this service to a close. No, I'm on verse 7. "Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab," okay, "and likewise did he for all his strange wives," verse 11, "for wherefore the Yahweh said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done to thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant, like your father David, and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it unto thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David, thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son, for David, thy servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen." And that tribe is the tribe of Judah. This brings the close of our study this hour. We're going to continue this study in our next study, in 1 Kings chapter 11. Continue to read the whole chapter for your own worship. And we're going to close this service now with a song. Yahshua Seder, pilot name. Yahshua Seder, pilot me,
over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown ways before me roll, hardy rock and treacherous shoal. Sergeant Thomas, come from thee, Joshua, Savior, pilot me. As a mother stills her child, as can hush the ocean wild. Boisterous waves obey thy will, when thou sayest to them, be still. Wondrous sovereign of the sea, Joshua, Savior, pilot me. When at last I near the shore, and the fearful breakers roar, wish me and the peaceful rest, and while leaning on thy breast, may I hear thee say to me, fear not, thou pilot thee.